All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if Kirk Cousins will finally deliver in crunch time for the Vikings.
And I have another installment of the Emmy Award-winning That Dude's Dude. But we start every day with a Whitlock. What you got today, big dog?
All right, everyone's trying to figure out Baker Mayfield, the number one draft pick, the prickly, petulant, and petty driving force behind the Cleveland Browns' bid for a winning season for the first time in more than a decade. Some people thought Mayfield was the next Johnny Manziel, all style mixed with substance abuse. With a game left in the season and Mayfield two TD passes from tying Peyton Manning's rookie record for TDs, now people wonder if Mayfield is the second coming of Drew Brees mixed with a dash of Terrell Owens. Bottom line, Baker Reagan Mayfield is something we've never seen before at the quarterback position. We're perplexed. We don't know how to talk about him. We don't know how to judge him. Here's Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network, dear friend of this show, and one of the smartest people who analyzes the game, discussing Baker on Fox Sports Radio yesterday.
We've never let anybody get off the hook with doing this kind of stuff in the National Football League prior to Baker. At no point have we ever allowed a quarterback to act this way and not say anything. When Cam Newton acted this way, when Cam Newton celebrated, man, we tore Cam Newton to shreds for doing this stuff. We have not given Baker the same kind of treatment. Now, that could be because we, as football fans, are evolved and we are okay seeing our quarterbacks not act, quote-unquote, presidential. But the way Baker has acted has not necessarily been becoming of a franchise quarterback.
Like everyone else, Bucky is confused. Let me see if I can help. I compare Baker Mayfield to Eminem, the rapper.
Hi.
Slim Shady.
My name is.
The NFL, like rap music, is dominated and defined by the personalities of black men. We've grown used to Cam Newton's dab, Colin Kaepernick's bicep kiss, Odell Beckham Jr.'s Hey Look at Me antics, and Antonio Brown's dance steps.
Hey.
We're not used to seeing a white guy, particularly a white quarterback, lead with defiant, rebellious emotion. Yeah, Tom Brady throws an occasional sideline tantrum. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers used to discount double check when he scored. But Baker Mayfield, he loses himself. He goes full Eminem. He cleans out his closet. Mayfield didn't grow up on 8 Mile, but his backstory gives him that hard knock life edge. His father, James, fell on hard financial times Baker's senior year of high school. Baker's family moved into four different rental properties his senior year. They eventually moved in with his mom's parents. Of course, everyone knows Baker's lack of size prevented him from landing a scholarship at a Power Five school coming out of high school. He walked on at Texas Tech and eventually at Oklahoma too. Given his background, Baker's attitude isn't all that surprising. He has a chip on his shoulder because he's always been doubted. Isn't that the same motivation that fuels the attitude of a lot of black athletes? Baker's Eminem, he's a rapper. I call Mayfield Little Smokey. Smoke is what the kids call confrontation or beef nowadays. Baker loves smoke. He's smoky. He's beef with Colin Cowherd, Mark Schlereth, and anyone else who dares to criticize his unorthodox style. Mayfield is as polarizing as Eminem. The question is whether Little Smokey will be able to sustain the kind of success Slim Shady has. Man. All right, joining the desk now, James Harrison, who was always about that smoke.
Boy, big smoky.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, he was about some smoke as well.
Yes, sir.
Marcellus, are we letting Baker Mayfield get away with something that other, is he getting a pass for his attitude?
I really take exception with the word pass because it shouldn't even be in existence. If you think about it, individuality needs a license to actually be exercised. That's just ludicrous in its meaning. But we have seen excessive criticism for other quarterbacks, whether they're black or white. We obviously know you talk about Cam Newton, you talked about Colin Kaepernick. Wearing a hat backwards wasn't quarterback heel at the time. What the hell was that? But then we also saw Aaron Rodgers take some heat with discount double checking. Brett Favre wasn't always likable. So I don't think it's just defined by race. But yeah, he's getting a different type of pass. But if we're going to go with the word pass, I like it. I'm with it. You know why? Because you shouldn't be able to tell someone else how they need to perform based on their personality. We shouldn't marry the two. I've seen nice guys, choir boys, sorry as hell. I've seen war paint dudes early to practice, late to leave, film study, sorry as hell. And then I've seen dudes arrogant, Hennessy, whiskey, coked up, baller. And look, I'm not trying to say I like their behavior, but you know what? There wasn't a marriage between how nice and how accepted you were as a person versus what type of player you were. And now we're trying to go here on the Baker Mayfield and say, we don't necessarily like what you're doing. So therefore, we're going to all of a sudden say, we are going to look at your performance different. Now, why does he get a pass? Because those same exact actions in the not so far distant past, guess what? We killed him. We killed Cam for a dab.
Are you sure we killed him?
We killed Cam for a dab.
I think we exaggerated.
Okay, we had a lot more noise and attention for Cam with a dab and handing a football to a kid than we do for a guy who's staring down his coach and calling him a quitter and fake and all those things. So I'm just saying in that world, that realm, I will say that slightly he's getting a pass.
For me, it's his personality. I could care less if he gets a pass, if be who you are. And I think that's the most important thing. But what Lil Smokey has to understand is this. As soon as he's playing well and we're bringing, he gets talked about on TV on every station because of the way he acts and the way he's playing.
Right.
He's playing extreme. As soon as he starts playing bad, oh man, it's an avalanche. He's going to get talked about so much to where he's going to feel the pressure to change. He doesn't feel any pressure to change because he's playing well. He's doing what he's supposed to do on the field. And when you play well on the field and you do your job the right way, you can care less what anybody has to say. That's why I could care. That's why he said it, because he's playing well. He's feeling himself. As soon as he starts to, and he's in a division where every week it's a good defense, minus Cincinnati. You're going to play Pittsburgh twice, great defense. You're going to play Baltimore twice, great defense. He's going to have some adversity. It depends on how he handles it moving forward to where we determine how we continue to talk about him.
I mean, I think he's getting a little bit of a pass, but at the same time, I'm with TJ. As long as he's going out there and performing, he could do whatever he wants to do. Right now in this league, it's hard to get to a quarterback and make him realize the things you just said, I'm going to punish you for, because they done made it to where the quarterbacks are so protected. So the NFL and the way people want to see ball play, they have done that for a person like Baker to actually go out there and be cocky and say the things that he's saying, where normally, you know, you go out there, you're respectful, you show respect, and you say, you know, what you don't really mean. You sugarcoat it on interviews. Now he's saying whatever he wants to say, because now you can't go and smash that quarterback and drive your shoulder into his gut and try and pop a rib or something. You can't go and smack him.
Big Smokey.
Hey, I'm just telling you, you can't go and, you know, hit him from the backside and lay all your weight onto him.
But to TJ's point, that's not the only avalanche of criticism. And I want to push back on TJ's point, not at TJ, but that's in existence. It's fear-based. All of a sudden, Baker Mayfield has to temper his behavior, because one day you're going to face adversity. And in that one day, you don't want the shoe on the other foot. You got to deal with
it. Everybody gets served humble pie. And he will get served.
And guess what?
His.
Everybody. So it don't matter how you come at it, the pie is going to get served. Mm-hmm. Nathan Peterman, I don't know. He sounds like a nice guy. I don't know his personality. Maybe an amazing person. Boy, say that name in the NFL universe and see what happens to him. And that's what being a nice guy. So if you're Baker Mayfield.
But Nathan Peterman played like trash.
That's
Baker
my
Mayfield
point.
Is balling.
That's my point. So no matter how you act, it's all performance-based. So why are we going to marry the two?
Well, listen, I'm very consistent on this. And again, I like his performance. He's playing at a high level. I think he needs to tone down some of the smoke. I don't like the way he's kicking Hugh Jackson while he's down. Do I know all the history between him and Hugh Jackson? I don't. But he's putting a clown suit on Hugh Jackson and making it, you know, diminishing Hugh's reputation. Look, Hugh, the 1-36 or whatever the record was in Cleveland, does a lot of damage. But I wish that Baker Mayfield would tone it down. I'm consistent in this in terms, I'm seeing people try to play the race card on Baker Mayfield, and I just don't think it applies. I go back to the guy I grew up with and played high school ball, junior high ball with, Jeff George. This dude got crushed over his personality.
Yeah.
Crushed and killed over his personality. He could sling the football, and he had some great years in the NFL, but the media ate him alive. It happens to anybody, And as far Baker Mayfield, Colin Cowherd, Mark Schlereth, others in the media have criticized this dude consistently. I don't think he's getting a pass at all. I think guys like me, guys like Cowherd, Schlereth, hey man, tone it down. This league will humble you, and you know you should. You can't let anger drive you your entire career.
Let whatever drives you, as long as you get there, drive you your entire career. I will say this. He's not getting a pass in the traditional sense, but there is a slight pass, and you just gave him one in your own essay. I caught two terms that was just interesting to me when you're talking about a white quarterback. Look, we know that white quarterbacks have been criticized. I remember Steve Young got criticized because he ran too much. I was like, Steve Young? And that's when he was going back and forth with Joe Montana. And then they were like, the gorilla's on his back. He can never win the big ones. That was Steve Young, Hall of Famer. So here's two things that you wrote in your own essay that made me say, this is a little different. He lived in four different rental properties. Where I'm from, they just say you lived in apartments. But, you know, he lived
in
rental
properties. That was his senior year, man. He had a good life.
Hold on. Brother like me lived in four different apartments. But him, he lived in four different rental properties. I'm going to let that slide. You had another one, Jason. Peep this one. He lives with his mom's parents. That's Big Mama where I'm from. That's his grandmama house.
That's grandma house.
But he lived in his mom's parents, and we live in Big Mama house. I'm just saying, that's just
Let me give you the facts on where it came from.
Where?
Because I'm doing all the research and trying to figure out his backstory. I took the rental property straight from somebody else's story.
I know.
That's how they described it.
My point.
That's what I said. And live with, you know, I'm using his lingo. He wasn't at Big Mama's house.
All right,
he was at Nana's house.
Same thing.
See, it is just same a little thing. Different. But look, the way James Harrison played the game, man, you brought smoke and you balled. Hey, you were Teflon to a lot of the criticism because of your performance. I just see that our shield is always our performance.
But it's a different position.
Yeah.
When you're an outside lineman.
I also didn't
playing the Steelers,
like that. Though.
Playing the Steelers, he came off as, like
come on,
don't mess with me. He came off. He's a quarterback. We've never seen a quarterback do what Baker Mayfield is doing. And I don't. He hears the criticism because he responds to everything. And it's when he starts playing bad, it's just they're going to pile on him on him. And it's how will he react? How will he handle that?
What he's doing is almost Deion Sanders-esque.
Right.
At the quarterback position.
At the quarterback position. We've never seen it.
Again, I think it's a lot harder at the quarterback position for you to do that because you're relying on a lot of people to make sure that you're able to do your job.
Exactly.
And that line in Cleveland is not really that Pittsburgh Steelers line that's going to protect like they do with Ben. So he's adding pressure to them along with whatever he says. So it's kind of a add-up.
But isn't that weak? Like, we need to create likability to protect us from our fall. Like, that's all we're saying to Baker Mayfield. Chill out a little bit, because when adversity hits and you will fall down a rung or two, make sure you have a softer landing.
That's what it sounds like. I think the standard's different in terms of some people just like, hey, man, do the right thing. Now, it has nothing to do with the fall. It's just like, hey, man, that thing you're doing to Hugh Jackson is distracting us from the fact you're about to tie or break Peyton Manning's record.
See, I didn't even know that until now.
Yeah, you're the little undersized quarterback who's about to set the football world on fire. I don't need to be talking about your beef with Hugh Jackson. You beefing down.
Okay.
You're about to be the biggest star in the league, and you beefing with a 1-32 coach? You beefing down.
I will challenge the audience to separate the signal from the noise and know what's real from fake. And I also challenge the same audience that didn't know that as a fact to look at it like this. Hugh Jackson, and I'm not just going to talk about him, coaches in general, have cut players in midnight hours. I've seen a coach take a player, quarterback, let's go to our State of the Union season ticket holder meeting. That's our starting quarterback. Get on the bus, cut him. In that moment, after they sell some season tickets. Point being, coaches do some ruthless things well.
There's no question, Marcellus, but you just moved the goalpost because, again, what I'm talking about is Baker Mayfield doing the right thing, not protecting himself when there's adversity. He is diminishing Baker Mayfield. This kid and what he's done in Cleveland. Cleveland hasn't had a winning record in a decade, and a rookie quarterback is about to take him there with a Peyton Manning-type performance as a rookie. We're not talking about – we're talking about all his little beefs, and they ask him every day, were you staring down Hugh Jackson and all this other stuff? He's putting shine on Hugh Jackson. But Hugh Jackson's done. He's a laughing stock. This would be like arguing with Rich Kotite.
look, this whole punch down thing is an interesting separate conversation. But I do like the TOs of our world. I do like the Deion Sanders. I like the smoke givers, and then they just got to go in there and say,
"Ain't nobody." Like, I think
I like that.
It's not a fact of liking or disliking. Mm-hmm. It's as a quarterback, you don't do these type of things because adversity's going to hit him. Now, when adversity hits him, he's going to shut up. And now you're going to say, oh, he's not being himself now.
But it's not about adversity. He's going to be the same guy all the time.
So if he's playing bad, he's not going to stare anybody down after he throws a couple interceptions.
Yes, he will. Go check his college history. This is, to me, if I was advising him, if I was his dad, James, whomever, it's about, why does Baker Mayfield want to be polarizing? Why doesn't he want to be? And again, I think maybe that's his motivation, taking everybody on. He wants to be the heel. But again, there's more money and more upside in that position in the one being the undersized guy that everybody loves.
Well, how do you know that? Because we've never seen somebody do it this way. So we don't know what the cap is in terms of popularity. And polarization worked in boxing and many other sports. Floyd Mayweather.
No one beat Floyd.
No one beat Floyd. And Floyd, no one beats him in the talking game.
Jalen Ramsey did that this year, though.
I got to put that
on. Did he not?
Hold on.
Jalen Ramsey was talking. As soon as Jacksonville started getting their head beat in, he shut up.
But hold on. You just said that he's a quarterback, so that's not what they do.
They don't.
But you're a wide receiver. You weren't a diva. How come you didn't live up to what y'all supposed to do? You don't have to stay in that box.
That's mostly aberrations. Again, the Deons, the divas, they get all the attention, but that's not the overwhelming majority of guys in the NFL. Most guys.
Select few.
Yes.
Position has to dictate personality. That's what I'm
Stop it. No. Oh, no. What? I'm saying he's doing the wrong thing for the long-term play. He needs to find a different emotion other than anger to play with, particularly at the quarterback position. If I'm a defensive lineman, defensive end, I'm going to play with a lot of – if I'm on that defensive side of the ball, I think anger can take you a long way. On the offensive side – it's more.
I'm glad you weren't Eminem's manager because you would have gave him bad advice. We would never got
the rap game.
You just said he's Eminem. I'm glad you weren't his manager.
UFC bantamweight champion TJ Dillashaw loves the fight, loves the strategy. You know what else he loves? Toyo tires. Because like Dillashaw, Toyo tires are tough as they come, and they are the official tire of the UFC. There's a lot to love about Toyo tires. Aggressive design, proven on and off the road capabilities, tires for any weather, and the toughness to back it all up. There's a confidence that comes with tough tires. So no matter what you're driving, no matter where you're driving, you can count on Toyo tires. Tough people love tough tires. If you're tough, these are the tires for you. Toyo tires. The next time you need tires, ask for Toyo, the official tire of the UFC. Learn more at toyotires.com/UFC. Time for a big story, Whitlock and Wiley, joined by James Harrison and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Let's move to Minneapolis, where the Vikings host the Bears Sunday with their postseason hopes on the line. Minnesota is in with a win or an Eagles loss, but the last time Kirk Cousins was in position to lock up a playoff spot in 2016 with the Redskins, he threw two interceptions in a season-killing loss to the Giants. This week, Cousins was talked about how he deals with the nerves of playing in big games.
Well, there'll always be, excitement, nerves, anxiety, butterflies, whatever you want to call it. That'll always be there. This matters to me. I joke with people that when the math teacher, junior year of high school, said, "Hey, we've got a pop quiz," you start to feel the butterflies because you want to do well. It matters to you. And frankly, I think when I have butterflies, I play a little better.
This is the knock on Kirk Cousins. Yeah. He doesn't play well in big games. And Peter King was on The Herd earlier talking about this. They paid this dude a lot of money to win this game this weekend. I don't have faith that he's going to get it done. I've seen him in too many of these not deliver. I don't expect he's going to deliver this weekend against the Bears.
You know what? I think he's turned a corner. When you have a problem, they say the first step of recovery is admission. But I think in games past, he tried to deny that this was a pattern. But looking at him and talking to those around him, it sounds like now he's like, "I'm going to confront this. I'm going to address this. I know why I'm here is to get this team over the hump," and he's prepared for this moment. Just seems like a different mindset, sounds like a different expression from Kirk Cousins. So hopefully he's turned a corner, as well as he has support in turning that corner. New offensive coordinator in town, 41 points, 27 points. A little different balance in terms of run-pass ratio. I think that's all going to support Kirk Cousins as
this is not AA. It's not once you admit your problem, then you're on the road to recovery. He still has to go out there and perform, and I don't believe he's going to do that, especially not against Chicago. Mm. I haven't seen it. Like he said, his recent history shows that. Just because he admitting it, that means nothing. Mm.
Well, if you didn't admit it before and you didn't have the same team, same support system.
That's just so that when he go in there and lose it, he already admitted that I had this problem. Y'all know I had this problem.
He's trying to get in front of it.
Right. I'm getting in front of it. I got this problem, so.
I hear you.
When you look at it, everything is stacking up in his favor for this weekend's game. Chicago Bears, they don't have anything to play for.
If the Rams lose,
the Rams, a lot happens.
But they play at the same time. Yeah. And so Chicago. Theoretically,
Coach
the Rams should be
guys, and he's
they don't
to
control
win.
Anything.
But
Giants were already in the playoffs 2 years ago when
and they beat them.
Wet the bed.
But this is the thing: they could possibly play in the first round of the playoffs, and so the game planner from Chicago, it has to be pretty vanilla offensively, and so things stack in his favor. He should win this game because of that. The Rams play the 49ers, which they should win. Chicago Bears, they don't gain an advantage by really playing their best players in this game. So things. If he can't win this game, they need to get rid of him ASAP. If he can't win this game,
he got guaranteed money.
$384 million.
Not going nowhere.
You got two of the best receivers in the game. You got a great running game. You got a great defense with Minnesota and Mike Zimmer. If he can't win this game, something is wrong because everything is in his favor. Everything.
There are certain guys that pressure. Does
and he shouldn't even get credit him. For winning this game because Chicago doesn't have a lot to play for.
Well, look, he's going to get credit because it would be a nice accomplishment if he did. And I hate to beat the guy up, but look, man, not everybody's built for pressure. Not everybody play. Look, LeBron James struggled with this early in his career. Damn. And there was a real struggle, and he had to learn and overcome and make up for that. As Marcella said, maybe the process has been started. But as James says, and I certainly believe, the proof will be on Sunday. I need to see it before I really believe it. Because everything I've seen from this dude, late in game, crunch time, pressure's really on, he looks like a guy that was in the third or fourth round of the draft for a reason.
Well, you know what's crazy? If you look at the individual numbers, and this is the same thing with this team before the change at OC. Kirk Cousins is having a great year, franchise record year. You look at him in primetime games, the record is 5-13. You're like, yuck. But then you look at him, his completion percentage is higher than in non-primetime games. His touchdown interception ratio is better. Passer rating higher. Pass yards per game higher. Like, everything about him, he actually
shows
up.
Could it be they getting beat so bad that they throwing the ball so much?
Empty calories. Yeah, it could be some empty calories. But I'm just saying, he doesn't go away in primetime games. Sounds like
very late he does.
Yeah.
Late, very late. And again,
those two interceptions.
Despite all the work that they did this year, he's beaten one team with a winning record this year. Mm. The knock on him, there's some truth to it. When facing the best, and again, because he's getting paid like he's a franchise quarterback.
He is.
He's not, his talent isn't franchise quarterback. He doesn't wow you with his arm. This ain't Patrick Mahomes out there. This ain't Aaron Rodgers. This is a guy, to me, anytime I watch him play, it's like, oh, man, that's a nice fourth, fifth-round pick that's playing at a high level. I never – he never – Ben Roethlisberger, some of the elite quarterbacks, even when they're playing bad, you can say, oh, man, they got the talent. They should be playing
it
better.
It makes you wonder, why would Minnesota get rid of Case Keenum with the type of season they had last year and go get Kirk Cousins like Kirk Cousins is Aaron Rodgers?
Bought the numbers. They bought the hype, bought the numbers. Whitlock and Wally, joined by James Harrison and TJ Houshmandzadeh. It's time for That Dude's Dudes. Marcellus, what you got?
Got love for the big uglies in the middle, in the trenches, Whitlock included. All of us out there. It's time for That Dude's Dudes. And let's start with number three, Cowboys defensive end, DeMarcus Lawrence. The buck stops here. Cowboys beat the Buccaneers 27-20. Three tackles, one sack by my man DeMarcus Lawrence. Say it loud. I love it, brother. Now, let's show you how you got that on Jameis Winston. Right now, if I was an offensive tackle, I would know, hey, he's about to pinch inside. Look at that double team action as they're going to come and fan to him. DeMarcus Lawrence, is pinching inside. You can tell by his footwork, only the advanced will see this. And now DeMarcus Lawrence goes into that double team. Woo! Now you got to deal with both of them boys. But there's a way to beat the double team. If you, one, get skinny, two, bench press. You can see now he has offensive alignment on one leg, locked out. Now they are trying to actually block his vision. Get a little blurry in there. Don't know what's going on. Referee, call that. No, you don't want to call that? You don't need to. I'm keeping my feet moving. I told you I got skinny in the gap while keeping my feet moving, and I already got the distance because of that bench press. Now you can see all this action coming together, and Jameis Winston, you must go down. Guess what? DeMarcus Lawrence, our third That Dude of the Week. Now let's go to number two. Who will be number one? But damn it, I don't give kickers that much love. Falcons punter kicker Matt Bosher. Look at this, Bosch Spice out here. Now, this is going to take time to develop, but it's going to be worth it. Oh, wait till the ending of this. Four tackles this season, 28 in his career, and none better than that right there. Oh, my God. Kenyon Barner, what the hell are you doing? Trying to jump cut. First thing happens, oh, this kicker. He's sitting there like, kickers can't tackle. Yeah, we don't exist. That's what Kenyon Barner's thinking. So he tried to jump cut in the air. Ooh, got squared up on him. Got him up in the air. Look at how he is. He higher than Jason Whitlock. Look at how he is. I mean, this dude higher than Yao Ming and Shaq. I mean, higher than some, let's go here. Oh, giraffe love. Giraffe can't even get up there. My God, head over heels. And now it's time to bring him down. Oh, man, my God, look at that. That's in my game room right now, my man cave. Oh, hit him with that on his back, foot up in the air, and third trimester. Now you're going to see him. Back one more time. That's a DDT right there.
How is this number two? How is this number two?
Yeah. Well, because he's a kicker. I mean, he didn't even know he was going to be there. He thought he was going to bail out of there. And then he goes to the sidelines, get a little bit of love. Let's see this celebration. What's up? Little Beavis and Butthead action right there. But still, number two, That Dude of the Week. Now let's go to number one. The Rams defensive tackle MVP, I hear from some. Aaron Donald, Minister of the Interior. Oh, my God, he had three sacks in his game. One of them was a fear-based sack. Dude just fell down, but this is how it go. This is the old dent and swim move. Richard Dent, Chicago Bears, perfected that move. Just chopped down that arm as he tries to grab you. Not even a good punch by Gossett, but he tries to grab, and now Aaron Donald just chops it down. Dent move with swim. Now, split that. Oh, God, he is in the middle, and now my man Mason Cole is sitting there like, oh, damn. We're kind of wide here. The Grand Canyon separating us. So I got to recover. I got to push you past my quarterback. Oh, but look at that hip bend. See, it's not just about the upper body, y'all. You get them sacks down low. Look at that hip bend and turn, twisted towards the quarterback, come downhill. Oh, yeah, Josh Rosen, you felt that. And you can see, number one of the week, Aaron Donald.
You know what you should have shown?
Which one?
The limo that Aaron Donald sent for number 78. Before the game. He limoed him to the game.
Man.
All right, that was awesome. Let's switch gears and move to a couple of quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, who will face off Sunday in Baltimore. Both rookies have outplayed a lot of people's expectations this year, with Baker approaching the NFL rookie record for touchdown passes and the leading the Browns to their best record in years, while Lamar has won 5 of 6 starts and has the Ravens sitting atop the AFC North. Question is, who's had a more impressive rookie season, Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson? This is easy for me. Baker Mayfield's going to win the Rookie of the Year. Baker Mayfield's about to break and or tie a Peyton Manning record. Baker Mayfield's taking the Browns to a winning record, perhaps, first time in more than a decade. It's Baker Mayfield.
Ah, not so easy. Al contraire, mon frere. I'd say Lamar Jackson. If I have to split hairs, who's having a better season? There are going to be different implications. Like you said, Cleveland's lowly history is going to factor in, and he's coming in as the number one overall pick and living up to expectations. But who has exceeded expectations? Lamar Jackson. If I'm 32 and you're number one overall and your record as a starter is 6-6, even though one of those games you came in late, and my record is 5-1 as a starter? Oh, not only did I hit the ground running, literally, but I have done more at the position than they even expected in my first year. So now I've galvanized my entire squad by my performance, and based off of expectations, I've done a little bit more based on who they thought I was. Some people said Lamar Jackson wouldn't even get to play this year. He was behind a $20 million franchise quarterback, and he didn't get his coach fired in the process of getting his opportunity. So there is an argument to say Lamar Jackson has done more with his opportunity.
No, I gotta go with Jace.
That was easy. Like,
yeah, it's just too.
It wasn't a bad
If you started Mayfield earlier in the year, I believe the Browns would have a winning season.
If was a fifth,
mm-hmm. We all. What's in your cup?
Right here, okay. I got it. It's my last day, brother.
But I believe Baker. He like you said, he's playing lights out. His team may not be doing well, but they're doing better than they have been doing in years. So, like I said, if they had started him sooner, they'd probably be in contention for a playoff appearance right now if they had started him sooner.
More impressive is Baker Mayfield. Bigger impact is Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson has had a bigger impact for his team. They were 4-5 when he took over.
Right.
They were out of the playoff picture, and he's gone 5-1 since. So, yeah, Baker Mayfield, the statistics show more impressive by far, but Lamar Jackson, his impact on the Baltimore Ravens is by far and away, for me, a better thing than what Baker is doing. Baker, when you're the number one pick, you're expected to play well.
Right.
You're expected to play well. And Lamar Jackson has this impact with the Ravens to where that defense knows if we can keep a team down, Lamar Jackson's going to find a way to get the W for us, and he's done that thus far.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Not a bigger impact. The Ravens came into the season a playoff contender.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns came in having one game in 2 years,
yeah.
And now they're sitting here with a chance to go 8-7-1. Who thought the Browns were going to win 8 games this year?
No, don't do that.
I said six to eight. Yes.
Before the season, there was a lot of people saying,
yep,
the Browns are going to go 7-9, 8-8. Before the season started, a lot of so-called experts thought the Browns would go 7-9, 8-8. Now, mm-hmm. They thought it would be with Tyrod Taylor, not Baker Mayfield, but that was – that's what people were saying.
I really thought 6-8 games. Got it on record. Got it on YouTube somewhere. I said 6-8, and that was with Tyrod Taylor. Mm-hmm. But look, it's still a good enough team constructed around Baker Mayfield. But here's my argument also on top of what TJ said in terms of impact. Look at this. Baker Mayfield has had some horrible games. Like some games where you're like, ooh, rookie. I mean, come back down to earth. We haven't seen a horrible game by Lamar Jackson this year. And Lamar Jackson, to your point earlier, his act is more universally accepted upstairs and by his teammates than maybe Baker Mayfield's is. Like, there are people who are pushing back at Baker Mayfield on the outside, and we all know how this usually plays out. When adversity hits, someone in that locker room all of a sudden says, yeah, that act by him and all that bravado and that arrogance, we weren't really feeling it, but we were winning, and we didn't want to really say anything.
You know that's coming.
That's coming, right?
You know that's coming.
So there's an argument, strong argument for Lamar Jackson, who's playing and winning football as well.
All right, thank you, James. Thank you, TJ. We're joined now by a legendary broadcaster, the voice of the Clippers, Ralph Lawler.
Yes.
Me, oh my, he's in his 40th and final season with the team. Ralph, I want to start with a question. Have you ever seen the movie Fatal Attraction? Do you remember that
movie? Yeah, absolutely.
And so Fatal Attraction is what I think of when I think of Marcellus. He loves the Clippers. And I'm wondering how the Clippers feel
about... Watch out for him, huh?
Yeah, yeah, I wonder how the Clippers feel about Marcellus. Is he a Fatal Attraction?
Well, they love Marcellus because he's always been an outspoken voice, sometimes in settings that you wouldn't expect to be too kind to the Clippers, and he's always been a good fan, and we appreciate it.
Oh, appreciate that. Now, I'm going to try and be professional up here, despite my fandom. obviously, if you look at talking to you and this team, you're a living legend. You've seen a lot of Clippers years, and good years, bad years. But what's the reason behind the success for this team this year? A lot of people call this a starless team, but they're out there playing winning basketball.
And they got some guys who are playing like stars, too, Marcellus, to be true. But I think this is a kind of a transitional year for the team, not a rebuilding year, because owner Steve Ballmer just won't put up with that. He's not going to tear it down to the studs like Philadelphia did with their process kind of a thing. And they went out and got a bunch of hard-nosed, competitive, hard-working guys who have kind of been under the radar. And it has just really fit. And I think Doc Rivers is doing, he's a former coach of the year, but he's having his best year coaching ever. He's really managed the talent, managed the minutes. When you've got like 12 or 13 guys who are really quality rotation type players and you only play 8, 9, or 10 of them in a given night, It's a real chore for the coach. He's done a great job.
Yeah, and you talk about being in those settings at times where it wasn't the fashionable thing to support the Clippers. I'll be there Friday at a Lakers home game versus the Clippers. Look, the Civil War is going to happen. We're going to find out that result. But who's the better team in L.A. and why?
I think the Clippers are, I tell you the truth, because of the team's depth. I really do. They're less vulnerable to injury than the Lakers. I hope and I believe that LeBron's not going to be out for long. I hope he plays tomorrow night because the Clippers want to beat the Lakers at their best, not without their star marquee player. But the Clippers have won 21 of the last 25 meetings between the two.
Yes.
3-1 last year. I just don't see any reason that that should change. But the City Series is really, really fun. And any Lakers watching this right now, though I think they're traveling to Sacramento right now, maybe not watching, are going to go, oh, yeah? Well, you got old guy. We'll see you tomorrow night.
there you go. I mean, being the voice of the Clippers for 40 years, let's talk about some of those dark years and maybe a shining moment despite all of the losing at that time.
Well, it was tough. We first came here in 1984, and nobody even noticed. I would go to the drugstore, grocery store, with a Clipper jersey on or a Clipper cap, and people would go, "What's a Clipper?" And once you told them, it was, "Oh no, I'm a Laker fan." They go, "Oh, okay." It was that way for a number of years through a bunch of coaches and a bunch of players that largely didn't want to be here. It was a real challenge to everybody in the organization. Then in the 90s, we had a couple of pretty good runs, and we eventually got Larry Brown as a coach, and Mike Dunleavy had some good years with the club. But it's been a process. But we had one season we won 10 and lost 72, I think, and I enjoyed every single game.
Wow.
All 82 games. I loved going to work.
I love
the games. I love the sport. I love the craft of broadcasting, as I'm sure you guys love looking and coming in here, and talking sports for a couple hours each day. I just love doing it. And if during some of the worst seasons, if you can find a reason to have people still watching, you're down by 20 in the first quarter, and I remember a few of those, to keep watching the second, third, and the fourth quarter, then you're doing your job. My wife, who's the greatest Clipper fan ever, she'll be all upset after the Clippers lose a ball game. If I had a great show on radio or TV, I'm like, all right. And she, what are you so happy about?
Right.
I said, well.
Ralph, I want to ask one quick question. I don't want to ask who the greatest Clipper is. Who's the Clipper you were closest to friend-wise? Who closest connection to that you maybe liked the most?
Well, Bill Walton probably fits that bill, but World Be Free was another one from, way back in the day. Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles a little more recently in the first part of the new millennium. And this group today has got some wonderful quality people from Harrison Gallinari to the two guys from Serbia, Teodosic and Marjanovic, the big 7'3 giant. They're all special people, and Patrick Beverley has his own little personality, a fiery, guy. But they're all good family guys, they're all good guys, and they all work their tails off every night, and I admire anybody that does that.
Well, Ralph, you're a special person to our show, to Jason and I, especially me being a Clipper fan, Clip City, Chip City. So on behalf of our show, we want to give you just a little token of our appreciation. We know you're retiring at the end of the year.
I will use this.
Yes.
Yeah, we live right near the Deschutes River. I love that.
Perfect. There you go.
This will get used. I'll thank you guys often. Oh, boy.
Appreciate you,
Ralph. All right, thank you, Ralph. Time to put on our thinking caps. We're joined now by Fox NBA analyst Jim Jackson and Caron Butler. As you all know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer, Marcellus Wiley, Columbia's very own. So we're going to take a deeper look at some big issues in sports. We've got a special cap for our Columbia grad. Darnell, bring it in.
Working overtime today, huh? Two segments so hot.
Grinding, yeah. Darnell,
one day, right. Eagle's still on you one day.
And it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt all of it.
Ron, you're Connecticut, right? Did you go to Connecticut?
Simi?
Yeah. All right.
Simi?
All right, let's move to the NBA. where Luka Doncic had another big game last night, dropping 21 points, 10 assists, and 9 boards in a win over the New Orleans Pelicans. Doncic has been having a stellar rookie season, which got owner Mark Cuban spouting a controversial theory last week about what America can learn about basketball from Doncic's home country of Slovenia, saying, quote, if we took our best kids and 7 years before they are McDonald's All-American, we sent them over to Slovenia to get an education, the league would be 1,000 times better. They just learn how to play basketball while our guys learn how to dunk and put together mixtapes.
Wow. Gannon.
All right, look, definitely Mark Cuban has a type, and yep. I don't blame him. Dirk Nowitzki, he fell in love with the European player, and he wants to duplicate that again, and looks like he struck gold. And maybe there's some truth to what he's saying. I'm going to bite my tongue a little bit and let the other guy.
Really?
I think there might be
you?
Some
truth. No, I'm talking about you go bite your tongue. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to bite. I'm going to wait.
Too many shots being fired. He got out the way.
I'm going to bite my tongue. I think there is a little truth in terms of do we have the best basketball culture in terms of development? If our talent was being developed other places where they can really focus on it, maybe our talent would be even better.
Who are you talking to, Mark Cuban, with these comments, and who are you talking about? Maybe that's why you may want to bite your tongue. I might want to bite my tongue, but there was a shot that came from these comments that I felt, and I was like, wait a minute. Because we all know the NBA was 70, 80% African-American. Okay, that's fine. Not every single player in the NBA is black. But then, if you look at all the good players this year, maybe there's two exceptions that are going to be all-stars that are going to be non-black players, which one may be your own player and a rookie. And let's go Djokovic, probably. And maybe that's it, and which is skewing differently than this globalization of the NBA game that's supposed to be all-inclusive and diversified. And he's living under a false reality. Because if most of this league, especially the great players, are black, what is there to say about this better way of schooling these players and they will become better basketball players when the reality is all the great basketball players are this way in this culture? So I just say, who are you talking to and who are you talking about? You found another one in the million in terms of these are kids who are teenagers who are brought into a professional ranks. And you found one, and then you found another, not even from the same country.
20 years later.
20. So what culture is so damned that it's not giving those players the proper opportunities in America? This AAU culture he talks bad about, I don't see the issues.
I think the best players in the planet, you know, obviously come from the United States of America. Hands down. Like, let's start that conversation right there. And then when you're talking about the players with the best ability, you can find them at your local Martin Luther, you know, somewhere balling, introducing you
to
Booker T. Washington High School, something like that, just putting that out there.
Yeah.
But he has a point when you're talking about, you know, skill set and development, because you look at grassroots in the AAU system, you know, some of those things, the money is used to pump money back into grassroots. But it's not used for the development of the individual, the kids. And I think that's important. So when you look at Luka's situation, he's a kid that's been playing professionally since he was 15, 16 years old. So that obviously he's going to be better from a skill set standpoint and all those things. He's playing against grown men at an early age on the biggest stage in the right settings, in the right environments and things like that. So if you take some of the best talents that we have and do the same thing with that, imagine what that would look like. But right now, when you look at the names, I think LeBron James, KD, Steph Curry, I mean, we're not doing bad.
I'm about to say, how are you going to do better?
I agree with Mark from a skill set like you talk
about. Yeah.
Okay, but the education system is built differently here in the United States. Okay, from an academy perspective, that's how it's been in Europe, okay? In the United States, it hasn't been like that. So to kind of break that mold, you're going to have to totally – that's why I think – people push back at IMG Academy. All you're gonna do is focus on basketball. What about the education? Well, the education is there, but it's not part of our blueprint in regards to America. So that has to change. I think when we were younger, we went to basketball camps. Mm-hmm. So at basketball camps, you got station work the first part of the day. So it was all skill work. And then you played later on that day. So you worked on your skill at a young age, and then you continued to get better. The high school coaches had more control. You had guys who played the game and understood it. So now they taught the game a lot different. I think where we lost a little bit is when we went away from that system, okay? AAU now, and sometimes they did it in high schools, but AAU now is guys that really haven't played the game.
Yes.
They got some money and said, I'm gonna get a team, I'm gonna get my boys, and I'm gonna put this together. I had an AAU team for 20 years. One thing we always did was try to teach the kids how to play the game, but we, more importantly, we tried to input some things in life, especially because we had a lot of young black boys. And we wanted them to be better, not just for the game, but for, you know, life in general. The biggest game you play is life. So I agree with Mark from the skill set perspective, but when you take a shot and you say mixtapes, bro, when you go to YouTube, the mixtapes that you generally see are African-American boys. That somebody put together those mixtapes, highlight tapes, that's really what they were, with music in the backdrop. Who do you think you're referring to? Mm. So if you put it out there like that without really digesting into that and really going into it and saying what you're doing, then everybody's gonna take it for a different reason.
I think his point about mixtapes is that there are certain plays and things you can do on the court that look awesome on your mixtape YouTube video.
Oh, they're gonna put all the highlights on there.
Yeah.
They're gonna put all the highlights
right.
on there.
And so, and it takes you away from just fundamental skill set development. The point that you made that I had never thought of and just blew my mind was, because I remember, like, you did used to go off to basketball camp. Now everything is just about playing summer basketball, AAU. Mm-hmm. It's not a camp teaching environment. It's just we go to city in Las Vegas and just play the game. And so I don't know if he's really taking a pot shot as much as he's saying over in Europe, they let, if you show talent in these areas in basketball, we'll let you go to academy and just work on that and ignore all the other stuff.
Well, keep in mind, Steph didn't play AAU ball. You know, he didn't play AAU ball. You know, his father kept him away from that. You know, so he taught him certain skill sets, and I don't know who else worked with Steph because I really don't know, but I know he didn't play AAU. You know what I mean?
That's why I think we're starting to see basketball's really becoming an elite sport. I think we're seeing a lot of players' kids play the game well now.
Yeah, you are, because you can't out-train DNA. So if your kid has it in him, like, all this, doctors would tell you that left and right. Like,
but Jim's going to develop his son's basketball skills properly.
Yeah.
Dale Curry.
And he's going to build them on top of a foundation of my daddy was Jimmy Jackson flowing through this. And it's a, you know, Steph Curry has his father. Like, it's going to be a whole different animal. But I will say this. I think this may be just a shot at one person and player in particular, and we all just felt the
collateral.
It's a shot at maybe Dennis Smith Jr.
Oh, yeah.
The one and done on his own team that he drafted last year.
We felt the buckshot.
Yeah, because he's like, he's trade block material, right? Everyone's saying that now. And why is he that? Because of what Luka's done. And then now maybe he's like, look, this is why this kid is not franchise worthy. He's into something else. And maybe we just are taking it and taking it to this extreme. But when you take that shot at him, there's a line of players in that same mold that I think they're also going to take that same.
And I don't want to take a shot at Luka and the guys that come over and play because they deserve, because they.
Right. And he's playing well.
And remember, we were in China together and we looked at Luka from the beginning and said, if he can do this and this, he can play. So we don't want to take away from what these guys have done, Dirk and all these guys, especially Luka right now because the pressure is on him as a rookie. That man can play. Okay, so let's not take shots and say Luka shouldn't be there because he should.
But why take shots at the majority?
Yeah.
Because you're thinking there's this new reality that they could even be better when you're getting these one-off players from overseas. They're not contributing to the same degree as those who are homegrown, as you talked about.
I mean, if it's a trending thing for the next couple of years and you look at, like, this 4 or 5 year window going forward, I don't know how you can forecast that future, but if you can, and all of a sudden you're starting to see a lot of bodies from the international space coming over and dominating, not just being here on the roster.
Right.
Like,
right.
We probably get on the roster still. Yeah. I'm talking about dominating.
Exactly.
If you do that, then the discussion changes.
Marcellus, I love your point about Dennis Smith Jr. because Dennis Smith Jr. has a world of talent. Mm-hmm. And they got a hell of a coach there in Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle mm-hmm. can coach. Everybody agrees with that. I hadn't even thought about it. I hadn't even forgotten about Dennis Smith Jr. because Luka's playing so well. Right. He's like uh-huh. totally erased it. But Dennis Smith Jr. has a world of talent. He's probably not that coachable. Mm. And his skills, his fundamentals haven't been developed. Mm-hmm. The guy's been dunking, doing amazing dunks most of his life.
And the problem is, in a league, as you know, you're really not going to develop or get taught because it's on-job training, and you got to kind of put in that work yourself. In the league, it's not like in college, you know, you're really getting taught and trained. In the league, it's not like that. If you can't fit the bill, you end up either playing in the G League or going somewhere else.
Time for my favorite segment, Antisocial. Jim Jackson and TJ Houshmandzadeh are joining us as well. All right, our social media manager, Darnell Smith, is here.
It's good. Right,
to tell us what's popping. I don't know, social media
street. I wore that jacket this weekend, too. It's free.
Nice. You got that?
Yeah, I love free stuff.
It's love right there.
All right, Darnell, what's happening out there in social media land?
Yeah, let's get it started in the NBA. Where the Derrick Rose Redemption Tour continued last night, dang, with Rose getting a very warm welcome in his hometown of Chicago. He also dropped 24 points and led the T-Wolves to a 119-94 victory over the Bulls. Late in the fourth quarter, the fans decided to show support to their hometown kid by chanting MVP during one of his free throws. Rose even cracked a little smile when he heard the chant. Are you guys surprised D. Rose still gets love in Chicago?
Absolutely not. No. I think he's a great... Everybody's rooting for Derrick Rose because he's had so many injuries.
Yeah.
I think the whole country, not just Chicago, loves his little redemption story that he's having because he's like the Gale Sayers of basketball.
Right. He never robbed the game. I mean, he was robbed of his game because of injury. And he even said before the game, he's like, I'm sorry, y'all, I can only get 50 tickets for the game. You know Chicago got to love that.
They love it, but it's funny because when he was there on the back end with the injuries, it was some boos in the crowd.
Say it.
Okay, so now they love him a little bit more that he's somewhere else and they can appreciate it. But I think sometimes when you're the fan base, you don't appreciate it, something until it's gone. And I'm happy for D. Rose to see him out there playing the way he's playing, man.
Yeah. For him to get that type of love in his hometown for a team he once played for, that's just his appreciation they're showing because he's playing really well. It's like, man, we wish we had you still.
And I'm a former MVP, so there are not that many of us out in the world. So appreciate me, respect me from day one.
D. Rose and I used to be neighbors. I don't know if you guys.
Oh, really? Well, you had that money.
You had that big contract. You had that all that shows.
You got that early bag.
Pay me with
that early bag.
Pay me with that.
And Russell Westbrook as well.
Oh, too much blood. I'm on the wrong show.
I wonder I got that nice scotch the other day.
Yeah, brother.
What's happening?
Man. All right, moving on to the NFL, where Colts backup quarterback Jacoby Brissett was really feeling the holiday spirit and decided to shoot his shot, tweeting at Sandra Bullock yesterday, writing, quote, Sandra Bullock, what up? You got to get a guy credit for trying here. Do you like his attempt?
Nah.
You don't like it?
Nah, that ain't no effort.
That ain't gonna get it done.
Yeah. You can't be at the top of the mall. Hey, yo! That ain't gonna work, dog.
Was he protecting his ego and coolness right there by putting it in there?
Yeah.
And not really like going
what
in.
What movie
and, like,
was he watching?
He had to be watching something.
Like, no disrespect.
Bird Box.
Sandra Bullock, like, you're going to shoot your shot.
Yeah, Bird Box.
Bird Box is popular right now on Netflix. She's out there.
I think he was protecting his
son. Ocean's 8, maybe?
This is a May-December romance, ain't it? I mean, I thought Sandra Bullock was more an IA set, no?
Yeah,
but he like older women.
He tired of Instagram and all that. He's like, I'm getting off the gram. I'm going to get me a ma'am.
You can't be mad for shooting the shot, though.
Hey, he's trying.
Yeah.
And, you know, look.
Good looking, too. She's beautiful.
He's trying to go the Tom Brady route. He wants somebody that got more than
that. That's right. Ain't mad at him.
Right.
He learned from the best, Tom Brady.
But
you got to do better than what up. Like, you know, when I hop in Tamron Hall's DMs,
I
come a little bit stronger than what up.
What's your DM?
Man, I'm not telling
him.
At least give us her response.
There ain't none, PJ.
I'm going to just tell you. I'm gonna tell you what the problem is. I'm afraid to put anything in writing.
Oh, good
Exactly. So you real comfortable.
You know what he
real smiley face and all that prayer hands.
He got a picture of Jimmy. Hey, he got a picture of Derrick Rose. How's he say? Right next to there.
I live right there.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
All right. Rich. Let's talk about our guy, Doug Gottlieb. whose tweet on college freshmen from yesterday is gaining a lot of attention in the social media world. Gottlieb said, quote, if you transfer mid-year during your freshman year, you should have to pay back the scholarship. It is basically a $100,000 scholarship that no one else can use, and some guys leave 7 to 10 games in, which is a joke. Doug will also be joining us here on Speak for Yourself next week.
Please, but I hope I'm here.
He makes an interesting point here. What do you guys think?
Hey, you know what you're telling? Doug Gottlieb, what up?
Of Twitter off here. And look, I love Doug, but Doug, real talk. When a coach leaves, has Doug put out a tweet about what the coach should do for the players that he done banned?
What?
Doug trying to coach.
I guess his point is the coaches don't leave mid-season. But, hell, the coaches tell you, I'm going to treat you like you're my son. I'm going to be there all this time.
Right.
Even when they leave at the end of the season, that feels like mid-season to a kid that you done gassed up.
Wow, rich, man. I don't know if he's trying to coach or be Mark Emery, the next president in NCAA. That's all.
Well, you done come from a father who was his coach. So he got a whole different mentality than just a player. So Doug has always been that way in regards to the transfer rule. Me, I'm like, guys should be able to transfer.
Go ahead.
Okay? If it's not working out for whatever reason, they should be able to transfer and play. A lot of coaches don't like it. They say they need to get accustomed. They stuck. They can't go. Coaches can just leave like that and go and coach somewhere else. I don't agree with that.
Nah, Sean.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Moving on to the football field.
Uh-oh.
Where Mike Tomlin defended his failed fake punt against the Saints, saying he felt good about it, which is maybe why Steelers fans are voicing their frustration on Twitter with the hashtag Fire Tomlin, has been trending since Sunday. The Steelers have had a drama-filled year, and the fans are definitely not happy about it. So, Jimmy.
Yes.
We know you're a huge Steelers fan.
Huge Steelers fan.
You think it's time for them to give Tomlin the boot?
Listen, man, I was in the back with my man, James Harrison. I was softly asking questions. I didn't want him to get mad at me. So, I was like, bro, what do you think? And he gave me some insight because we know you got Chuck Knoll, okay? You got Coward, and you got Tomlin. That's it, bro. And they generally don't fire their coaches early before their contract is up. But I get frustrated at times. I just thought this team the last 4 or 5 years hasn't been as disciplined, especially on the defensive end, as what we've seen it cost this game. That 4th and 2, but you got 2 of the best receivers in the league. Go for it with the offense. You got Big Ben back there. That's me. I don't want to see him go, but I'm frustrated, bro. I'm a frustrated Steelers fan.
Hold on, man. At the end of the day, discipline, fundamentals, skills, play calling, all gets you to one end game, wins and losses. He has the second most wins as an active coach. Y'all get rid of Tomlin, the odds are you're going to get somebody worse up in there. And I like Tomlin for who he is, man. He's had to put out a lot of fires. He lost his starting running back. He lost his backup running back. His quarterback wanted to retire. Oh, he got
all get mad at me.
Oh. Yeah, I thought you had that hashtag going.
No, man.
I'm not part of the expert here.
I like Mike Tomlin. He seems to be a player's coach. Just sometimes the ball don't bounce in your favor. Mm. Now, I'm in favor of keeping my offense on the field and not faking a punt, but it just didn't go that way. It all started with Le'Veon Bell. Once the locker room started chirping at the beginning of the season, it was just all downhill. But, no, I'm keeping him on.
True.
Can't get along, and I don't blame Tomlin because I think Ben Roethlisberger is a headache. I think there's an issue between Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin.
True.
And when organizations got to choose between a quarterback and a coach.
I don't want to hear it.
Sometimes, Roethlisberger on his way.
I don't want to hear it.
The Patriots would have said,
bye, Brady. All right, Darnell, last but not least.
Yeah, yesterday on Lock It In, Cousin Sal tells us who he believes will win MVP in the NBA this year. Take a listen.
LeBron turns 34 in 3 days. He's averaging 35 minutes a game. I bet Walton knocks him down to 28, 29 minutes a game, especially now knowing that they can grab a top 3 or 4 seed in the conference and make the playoffs. Now, what I like is I'm going to cash my Giannis for MVP ticket because that gap is going to widen more and more as LeBron plays fewer minutes.
Does Cousin Sal have a point here?
No, I'm not so sure. I think LeBron will make a run at the MVP. Mm-hmm. And if they finish as 3rd or 4th seed in the West, I think he may deserve it.
It just seems like they're rooting for
someone else other than LeBron to get it. In years past, he's deserved it or more consideration than he's been given. It just seems like it's a rotating trophy. And LeBron's had his opportunities. He had his wins. And I think they're trying to go for the next. They're trying to go future and pay it forward.
He's the best player in the league, bro. Best player in the world. Yeah, Michael Jordan, when he did it, when Charles won it, and Karl Malone, Michael Jordan was still the best. Still the best. Right. Giannis, does he deserve it if they win the East? They'd probably give it to him. Yeah. But LeBron's still the best.
Right.
Yeah, for me, it's LeBron's the best player. It's obvious. The Lakers, last year and this year, night and day difference. He means that much to a team. So, you got to give it to LeBron until he slows down. I'm a Laker fan, though.
All right, thanks, guys. We got to go.
See you on Friday, homie.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Cleveland Brown quarterback Baker Mayfield. Uncle Jimmy, oh, you're a lifeguard. Who's like, I hope you're not a lifeguard in no pool with no real kids.
Hey, and? But what you want?
They don't, dude, do they sell lotion in your neighborhood?
I'm about to say.
Look at that ashen. I mean, look, that's that chlorine, man. They come on with that, man. And you know Ash Wednesday coming up. Coming up. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, just in case y'all wonder, ain't nobody asked me a damn thing about could I swim. Now, your kids jump in that water, the only way I'm going to get them out, hey, is that your brother? Go get him.
I'm just glad you ain't got jeans on.
and socks. Hey, get him. Get him.
What are these damn
you ain't
Batman
got no whistle.
Socks.
What kind of lifeguard without a whistle?
What are these Batman socks?
What are we here to talk about me or what are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about Baker Mayfield.
Come on, man.
Good point.
I know I'm the damn star of the show and all, you know.
I love it.
All right, here's a highlight from earlier, our discussion on Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, he loses himself. He goes full Eminem. Mayfield didn't grow up on 8 Mile, but his backstory gives him that hard knock life edge. His father, James, fell on hard financial times Baker's senior year of high school. Baker's family moved into 4 different rental properties his senior year.
We had a lot more noise and attention for Cam with a dad and handing a football to a kid than we do for a guy who's staring down his coach and calling him a quitter and fake and all those things. So I'm just saying in that world, that realm, I will say that slightly he's getting a pass.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, you heard our discussion on Baker Mayfield. What's your take? Yeah.
Little smoky, huh?
Yeah, that was good.
Little smoky, huh? Hey, I got one for you. How about Vanilla Faker ice, baby?
What?
Huh? Boy, don't know a damn thing about hard times. 4 rental properties in a year. You know what that mean?
What?
That means that his daddy's credit was approved 4 times in a year. Hell, man, Uncle Jimmy got to work 4 jobs just to get his credit approved 1 time in a year. Vanilla Faker. Stop. Hammer time.
Hold on, man. Comparing him to Vanilla Ice, that's a little hard,
that's
man.
Harsh.
That's harsh, yeah. Man.
Nope. Harsh my ass. Okay, you buying the hype. You buying the hype, right? Yeah, he came up hard. When you walk on you walk into 2 different schools, mm-hmm. You know what that mean? Mm-hmm. That means somebody paid for your ass to go to 2 different colleges.
Oh!
I got 15 step kids, got some kids of my own, and all of my kids is walk-ons. Walk-on at Phoenix Online University. Now that's a walk-on for your ass.
Walk online.
Vanilla Faker transferred, okay? That's a hell of a difference, okay? He ain't no damn Eminem, and I bet not ever hear you say it
again.
Hold
on. Yeah. Look, man, he's close to breaking or tying one of Peyton Manning's rookie records, man.
And?
What do you mean?
Wait, did Vanilla Ice's first album go number 1?
He did sell a lot of albums.
Name me another Vanilla Ice other than Ice Baby.
Ooh, it was another one, too.
I wait.
Oh, no, no.
I wait.
Play that funky music.
Yep, I knew it was another
one. Oh, okay, we on TV. Okay, see, I can't say what we used to call that song. Let's just say,
don't get fired.
We're gonna use the word funky. That's all I'm gonna say. Stupid. Honk, honk if you hear me, Mark Ellis. Huh?
Hold on.
I'm ready for my close-up now, Kyle.
Oh. Pan out for that ass.
Look, man, we got it. let me stop you and let's talk some Baker Mayfield.
You need to take some medicine on them scratch marks.
Yeah. Can we get this man some lotion?
I didn't have my calculator at the store, so I was trying to count how much it was going to be.
Hey, man, all these damn jobs you work, you should be able to afford some lotion.
A little bit.
But anyway, let me get to Baker Mayfield. He wasn't the trainer.
I ain't serious, bro.
Russell Westbrook, Derek Rose.
Can we stop? Stop.
Work out with your neighbors.
Look, man, I had Baker Mayfield at GOAT status previously. Still. I've dropped him down to an all-star level at a 79. I had him previously, his job performance was at a 25. Now it's at a 23. All-time greatness I've elevated. He has the Browns on the brink of a winning season. I went from 17 to 18. Yeah. Character, I don't like the Hugh Jackson. I don't like the attack on Hugh Jackson, so I dropped him 2 points to a 15. Authenticity,
2 points.
I kept around the same, just 1 point to a 23. A total of 79, just below GOAT status.
I hear you. I mean, he's punching down at Hugh Jackson right now, but it's a combat sport, so all punches count. We always say on the field, get it with your muscle. Hugh Jackson must respond. I give him GOAT status. Look, I think everything is improved, too. When we did him before, it was after that one big win. But now he's went out there and he's won six games for this franchise, and they're going to have a winning record, looks like. So I give him GOAT status. Small GOAT, but he's right there. I love what he's doing.
You giving him GOAT status.
Vanilla after, Faker, ice, baby.
What you got, Uncle Jimmy? Too cold to hold.
Vanilla Faker, ice, baby.